You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, sir. 30 hours from right now, it's the start of the 2024 NFL Draft. We will be in Detroit. The big man, Chris Carlin, already en route. He will be anchoring the draft show coverage Thursday and Friday night. I will be flying to Detroit tonight to join the morning show tomorrow. Get this. Gabe Neitzel in for Chris Carlin. We're Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tomorrow, I have made the decision, Gabe.
Okay.
Whether anyone on that morning show agrees with it or not, I do not care, that we are doing the show from the Greektown Casino in Detroit. I will be using the commercial breaks to hit whatever table is closest to our setup. I heard today that a craps table is nearby. That is a little complicated to play quickly, because if you have a roll going, you can't just run away. But roulette and blackjack can be done quite efficiently. Maybe not profitably, but efficiently. Do you think the morning show will have a problem with me doing that?
I mean, probably. Knowing Evan Cohen, he's probably going to be, you know, he's a little bit of a stickler.
But right.
If you, I mean, you could also upset, I mean, not that you would have to worry about it, I guess, that early. But if there's, you know, people sitting at that table, when you're floating in and out of a blackjack, that can upset people as well.
That's huge. And I'm hoping early in the morning there is not a very busy table. Like, roulette doesn't affect anybody. You just
Correct.
Pop in, you do a spin, you're out. I'm hoping I can pull that off. Stay tuned tomorrow. We'll probably try to stream the antics. I've already been told from multiple TV people I better not try any of this. I'm supposed to do a first take hit on Friday. I do not think they are thrilled with the idea of me doing that. ESPN Bet Live is not. I was like, can you just turn the camera while I run over and do it? It would probably be funny. They're like, no, we did not send you there to gamble during the TV hits. Could you please just stay focused? It's like, all right, we'll revisit this later. Gabe Neitzel, Joe Fornball, Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. NFL Draft tomorrow night. I think you and I stumbled into something this morning where our BS detectors are up. And there is a lot of BS this time of year. The culprit in question, the Giants of New York. We're starting to get the sense that the Giants are trying to slip one past us here. And you got to wake up pretty early to get the old banana in the tailpipe on Gabe Neitzel and Joe Fortenball. Here's what we mean. Think about the Chicago Bears right now. Everyone on earth knows that they are taking Caleb Williams number one overall. But they're not saying it. They want there to be some intrigue. They understand that, like, you know, a little bit of suspense could be helpful, much like the Commanders with Jaden Daniels at two. And then there's the Giants, who apparently any reporter that gets within 100 miles of the facility is being told exactly what their plans are. Gabe, I want you to listen to this, and then I want you to break it down. I'm going to play two audio clips for you about what's going on with the Giants. Actually, I'm going to start with one, and then we'll discuss. This is Jordan Ronan. He covers the Giants for ESPN, all right? Here's what he had to say about their draft plans.
The Giants are looking into trading up in the draft. That's something they're still currently doing, right? Number three with the New England Patriots. Number four with the Arizona Cardinals. Those are the two sweet spots. Number four still seems more likely to me. But when you talk to league sources, the belief among these league sources is that if the Giants move up and they do trade, and they're trying to trade up to picks three or four, it's for Drake May.
Okay. So that's Jordan Rana. The plan, the Giants are interested in a quarterback. They want to trade up. Now, we talked to Sal Palantonio yesterday. Sal Pal said pretty much the same thing. Giants have been working the phones. They want to trade up. They want to get a quarterback. They're currently at six. It's like everyone who gets near them, Gabe, everyone who gets near them has the plan that they want to trade up and get a quarterback. My question is, if the Bears are being quiet and the Commanders are being quiet and the Patriots are being quiet and the Cardinals are being quiet and the Chargers are being quiet, when we get to six with the Giants, why are they being so loud with their plans?
That's what makes me think smokescreen.
BS, right?
Screams smokescreen. Because teams, this time of year, especially when you sit inside the top 10 and you want to manipulate some things that maybe the board will break the way that you are now hoping. And if you are just jumping up and down, trying to get everyone's attention, you know, kind of George Costanza style, they might as well be driving around the parking lot with a bullhorn yelling Drake May's name,
right,
trying to get everyone, hey, we want Drake May. Drake May is the guy we're interested in. It makes me wonder, okay, there's something else going on here. Something else is going on where they're trying to manipulate something to maybe go their way, where they're trying to get somebody else's attention of, hey, if you want Drake May, better get ahead of us because we're the ones who really want Drake May. It makes me wonder, okay, are they in the market for something else other than a quarterback? Because it was less than a year ago that they gave a big contract to Daniel Jones, where they decided that he was going to be their guy of the future, and they gave him 4 years, $160 million. Maybe they actually do believe in Daniel Jones, and they want something else to help Daniel Jones.
Great segue, because this morning in our meeting, we were kind of kicking this around, and I floated a possible reason for why the Giants are putting this out there. And without talking to Matt Miller at all between that conversation and when we had him on a little while ago, Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, he had the same hunch. So maybe there's something to this. This is what Matt Miller thinks could be the reason why the Giants are just so out in the open about this desire to move up and get a quarterback.
I'm not the end-all be-all when it comes to sources, but I've been doing this a while. I know people around the league. No one has told me that the Giants like Drake May. I keep seeing it from fellow media members. So maybe they just have better people to talk to than I do. That's definitely possible. But I haven't had anyone in the NFL tell me that the Giants like Drake May. So that, to me, that it kind of feels a little smokescreeny that the Giants are really hoping the four quarterbacks go in the top five so that they could potentially get Marvin Harrison Jr. at number six overall if they can get someone to jump up for one of these quarterbacks. Worst case scenario, you're getting Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze. You're getting a great wide receiver. So I would just throw this out there. I think it benefits the Giants to let people know that they would like to move up because you're really forcing someone's hand. You're telling the Minnesota Vikings, you better not sit at 11 and try to draft a quarterback because we'll take one at six if he's there.
Got to wake up pretty early in the morning to slip one past Joe Fornball, Matt Miller, and Gabe Neitzel, Giants. We are not buying it. We are not buying it at all. And it's genius because that's the idea. If you know quarterbacks are going 1, 2, 3, let the entire world know you're interested in a quarterback. And then you've got Denver, Minnesota, the Raiders, Seattle, the Saints, whoever else is interested in a quarterback realizing, look, if we want the fourth one, whether it's McCarthy or May, we got to get in front of the Giants. That means 4 or 5. So say they go to 4. That takes Arizona out of the equation. That leaves the Chargers. If the Chargers go Joe Ault at offensive tackle or someone other than Harrison, assuming that's the target, Harrison falls right in the lap of the Giants. Brilliant, except for one thing. Those nosy, pesky kids from Scooby-Doo were smart enough to sniff this out in advance.
Well, but we also just learned, as we were talking with J.J. McCarthy not that long ago, that the Giants have visited with him twice. So, the Giants are putting it out there, and they are doing a very good job of putting the smokescreen. But I still have a hard time thinking that they are actually in the market for a quarterback, that they are going to go out there and go, yep, this is, you know, we are not going to commit to Daniel Jones. We're going to get rid of him after next year when we have the out in the contract, and we're going to build around Drake May or J.J. McCarthy. It makes more sense to me that the head coach and general manager go, well, let's actually give him some pieces where he can throw the ball. Let's see if we have some actual offensive weapons for him to work with. Let's see what he can do that. Because, again, it wasn't that long ago that Daniel Jones won a playoff game. Won a playoff game.
I can see it. I can absolutely see it. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I think back to last year, one of the all-time great smoke screens was the Indianapolis Colts and Will Levis at 4.
Will Levis.
And the Colts didn't even have to do anything. Early in the process, people started linking Levis to the Colts, and the Colts just didn't say anything for like 3 months. And they let us all believe it was going to happen. And then they drafted Anthony Richardson, and everyone's like, what the hell happened there? Did you have a change of heart? And it was like, no, it was Richardson pretty much the whole time. We didn't feel the need to correct you when you were wrong. So if everyone starts assuming the Giants are going to take a quarterback and the Giants aren't interested in a quarterback, lean into the narrative, let everyone continue to pump out their mock drafts and sports talk radio and TV content, and maybe, just maybe, it ends up benefiting you in some way. It could be very, very smart. I will say that if Brian Daboll is entering year three and he's going on with Daniel Jones and it doesn't work, or Jones gets hurt again, we're going to have some serious questions about whether or not he's going to be back for year four in New York. So it's a big gamble. This is a very big draft for the New York Football Giants.
Yeah, it would be a huge gamble to go with Daniel Jones, but it's also, I think, a big gamble to just go with a new quarterback and continue to trot quarterbacks out there with really no other offensive plan. I mean, who do they have pass catching wise, or even just weapon wise? Because at least they used to have Saquon. He's not there anymore.
Right.
Like, offensively, they have next to nothing. They have to start building up. Now, maybe if we're wrong, which again I doubt, a couple of smart guys here.
Very smart.
Getting out in front of everybody on this, making sure everybody knows it's a smokescreen. But let's say for some weird reason we end up being wrong and the Giants played the old opie-dope on us. They draft a quarterback, maybe because the wide receiver class is deep. They think they can get one in the second round. They can go out there and get, again, not one of the top guys, but you can still get value with an Adonai Mitchell if he happens to slide into the second round because so many wide receivers are going. They have to address that position sooner rather than later. And they have to address it, to me, in a big way at some point in the first couple of rounds.
1 year ago today, Gabe Neitzel, who works in the Milwaukee area, had the big news, right? The big trade. Aaron Rodgers sent from Green Bay to the New York Jets. We're going to reflect on that because we're curious. We all know how everyone in New York feels about it. How does everyone in Green Bay feel about it? Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio. That's coming up next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
The Detroit Lions are just spending money like tomorrow's the end of the world.
Whew.
So from Adam Schefter just a few moments ago, the Lions have come to terms on a contract extension with offensive lineman Penei Sewell, 4 years, $112 million. Reports indicate $85 million guaranteed. Overall, he becomes the highest paid offensive lineman in the National Football League. This on the heels of a report from a few hours ago that the Lions gave wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown 4 years, $120 million with $77 million guaranteed. All told, two players in a handful of hours, 8 years, $232 million in contracts, $162 million guaranteed. Gabe Neitzel, react.
I, unbelievable that the Lions have gotten to the point where they are just giving out money like this, right? I mean, they've been the laughingstock of the league for so long, but these were two picks that they've really hit out of the ballpark. This is the dream for every team going into the draft tomorrow night, that they make a couple of picks, whether it's on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, that are good enough that they can give a contract like this too. That's the dream, that you draft a player that's good enough, that commands this type of money, and you can lock them up to some sort of long-term deal.
I mean, you watch this, everything that's unfolded over the last year, and you think to yourself, have the Lions figured it out? After four decades, have the Lions somehow figured it out? Seems like the coaching is competent, seems like the quarterback position's pretty solid, seems like the drafting's going well, the free agent signing is going well, the timing's going well, something Dallas can't figure out. Dallas has no idea when to pay their guys. The Lions clearly getting ahead of it here with two of their young stars, getting them locked up for the long term. I mean, it dare I say, the Lions have figured it out? Is that the world we live in now?
I think that's the world we live in now. And I was one of the people who made fun of the hiring of Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I don't know
Hand
if
up.
I've done a 180 on a coach more than I have with Dan Campbell, because clearly his players buy into what he's selling. I think the hard knocks that they did a world of good for Dan Campbell, I think, as well. And it's been a wild ride. And you know what? For Detroit to make it to the postseason a year ago, to be able to win that division, host a playoff game, now they're hosting the draft. Like, Detroit somehow is getting closer and closer to the center of the NFL universe.
By the way, this isn't a coincidence. You're not announcing these deals one day before you host the draft. This is strategic, right? This is very strategic.
Yes.
You get this out there. The fans are fired up. Everyone's excited about your team. Now, tomorrow you roll into the draft. You've got the jerseys, the hats. Everyone's jacked up. Eminem, Marshall Mathers with Roger Goodell, a collaboration we've been clamoring for never, but we're going to get it. It's fantastic with the commercials. You got to love it. Now, sticking in the NFC North, you do Sports Talk Radio in Milwaukee. Today is the one-year anniversary of the Packers and the Jets agreeing to a trade that's sending future Hall of Famer Aaron Rodgers to New York. Joe Douglas, Jets general manager, here he is on the Aaron Rodgers anniversary.
We don't have a second round pick this year. And if I had the choice of having the second round pick or not having Aaron, I would take Aaron 15 times out of 10. Like, obviously, the injury was devastating for all of us, but we're so excited to have him part of this franchise.
Love the math, because if you only have 10 opportunities, there's no way you can get 15 shots up, but neither here nor there at the moment. That's the Jets side of the equation, and you know that's what they're going to say. What are you guys saying in Milwaukee? Like, 1 year later, how does everyone feel about this?
Oh, I don't know if we could feel better, Joe.
Really?
We feel fantastic. Did you see the way Jordan Love played in the last
great.
Nine games?
He looked great.
He looked fantastic. And Jordan Love is likable. Aaron Rodgers became very unlikable by the fan base. He just wasn't as relatable.
Even in Green Bay. I know nationally, yes. I didn't think the hometown had turned against him.
When you're winning MVPs, you can kind of say and do whatever you want.
Sure.
But when you go 8-9 and miss out on the playoffs, then the act gets pretty tired pretty quickly. And I think he had just worn out his welcome. He was never as relatable as his predecessor, Brett Favre. And I know Brett's gotten himself in some pretty hot water over the last couple of years since his playing career ended. But Brett was always endeared by the fan base. You always felt like, even though you actually didn't, you felt like you knew Brett. You knew his family. He introduced, you know, when Brett Favre's father passed away and he still played a game on Monday night, like, everybody was rooting for Brett because they felt like they knew his dad, Irv Favre. Like, everybody felt like they knew him. You didn't really know Aaron on that level. And he was a tremendous quarterback. But especially as things continued to progress, and he's like, well, I'm not coming back unless you bring Randall Cobb back. All right, we'll bring Randall Cobb back. And all the demands and all the things just continue to pile up. Last season, there weren't a lot of expectations for the Packers. But I know many a Packer fan that had more fun watching the Packers last year grow as this young, fun team than they've had in a long time, because they weren't bogged down by, okay, what's the quarterback going to say? Who's he going to throw under the bus after this loss? How is this team going to grow? And it was so much fun watching them last year. If Joe Douglas I would only do it 10 out of 10 times, because, you know, the math, that's
right.
All that's possible.
Right.
But yes, I would do it 10 out of 10 times as well. Because right now, it seems like it's working out for the Green Bay Packers even more than Joe Douglas seems to think it's working out for him.
Is Rodgers a rough culture guy? Like, I don't want to say bad culture guy, but the way you kind of lay that out, you can understand, okay, things can go south after a long marriage. That's understandable. But then in New York, it was just so chaotic over this last year. Like, I'm going to be there for Zach Wilson. And just every time you heard him talk, it just seemed like there were so many distractions surrounding that franchise regarding him. Now, they all seem to really like him. So if that's the case, it doesn't matter what anyone on the outside thinks. But is it like too much to deal with him inside the locker room?
I think it can be that way. There were a number of young players who felt like they could not connect with Aaron Rodgers. And look, that happens when you've been in the league. Same thing happened to Brett, right? Like, when you've been in the league long enough that now the guys you're playing with literally grew up watching you. Like, it's tough to make that, to connect the generations, right? When you're a 38, 39, 40-year-old veteran quarterback trying to connect to your young 23, 24-year-old wide receivers, that can be tough. And the other thing, Aaron didn't seem as bought in with Green Bay as he has with the Jets. We've seen Aaron up there participating in all of the offseason activities, trying to get to know his teammates better, maybe learning from some of the mistakes he made at the back end of his tenure in Green Bay. But he wasn't doing those things. He wasn't buying in Green Bay because he had skipped off-season stuff before and it worked out. You know, in the COVID year, 2020, won an MVP.
Yeah.
Lockout year of 2011, won his first MVP when there were no off-season things. So he was kind of leaning on that of, I don't really need to be there. I'll figure it out. And the last season, they didn't figure it out. So I think Green Bay just finally decided that they had enough. And Green Bay, the fans and the front office, I guarantee, are more happy than the Jets are with the way this trade has worked out.
Okay. So let's experiment with something here. You know the Packers very well. You're covering them on a regular basis. They picked up a lot of juice late in the year last year. They go to Dallas. They hammer the Cowboys. They pick up more juice. They go to San Francisco. They have a chance to take out the Niners. They come up short, but it's one of those losses where it's like, you're going to be better off from this loss. You're going to learn from this loss. You're a young team. You're going to grow from this loss. That's how all the great teams need to start. You need to kind of get kicked in the teeth in a game you could have won, but you kind of blew it, and then you learn how to rise above that. Okay. I am of the belief that maybe we're going a little too overboard on Green Bay coming in the next season. I can already get the sense that there's going to be people who want to shoot from the hip and say Green Bay's winning the NFC, Green Bay this to Green Bay that. The schedule is going to be much more challenging this year. There are a lot of obstacles the team is facing. It's just the natural contrarian in me to say maybe there's a bit of an overreaction. As someone who covers them daily, where are you on them next year realistically? Do you think, like, hey, we're ready for the serious conference push, or is it, all right, look, we might need another year. This is ahead of schedule.
I think they need another year. They're a little ahead of schedule.
Okay. And that's reasonable.
Yeah, because I fully still expect them to be a playoff team. They're a young, fun team. They have enough talents where they should be a playoff team. But also, the team that we've been talking about a lot today that just spent $250 million on two players, they reside in that division. The Lions aren't going anywhere. I don't think the Lions are going anywhere because they're also a young team that have, you know, some veterans sprinkled in at the right spots. Plus, the Packers are making a switch on defense. They've run a 3-4, and I understand. And a lot of teams are going, you know, outside of the base defense, but they're still changed defensive coordinators, changing defensive philosophies from a 3-4 to a 4-3. First time since 2008 that they're going to be playing a 4-3. So some different things are going to have to happen. They still, I think, are a couple of pieces away defensively from really making that thing hum. So I think the offense is going to continue to grow. I think Jordan Love and all their pass catchers are going to be second or third year guys. From the top two tight ends, their top four wide receivers, which is exciting. They add an exciting free agent running back in Josh Jacobs. I still think there are going to be some things that they have to grow from defensively, and maybe that holds them back from winning the division and being a true, okay, this team's going to go to the NFC Championship game and win the Super Bowl. That's not to say they can't sneak into an NFC Championship game if they get the right matchups. I just don't think they're going to be one of the favorites.
They're so young, which is what makes it so exciting, because as they continue to get older, mature, go through these experiences, they're just going to get better and better, and they seem like a really well-run team at the current moment. He's Gabe Neitzel. I'm Joe Fortenball. It's Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're going to stick around the Milwaukee area. That was what's going on with the Packers. What's going on with the Bucks losing to the Pacers last night? What's going to happen in Game 3? The latest on Giannis. We're going to spin all the way around the NBA with Gabe. That's coming up next. In addition, we got some pizza monies. Action for tonight, action on tomorrow's draft. That is all coming up after I have this from Vivid Seats, where you can score the seats and the memories this spring with Vivid Seats. Your home for every buzzer beater, puck drop, and home run. Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. And with a 100% buyer guarantee, Vivid Seats gives you the peace of mind for the ultimate fan experience. Celebrate your fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
For the people tonight, two for the people. Number one, the Pelicans +7.5 over the Thunder. We are going to take the dog here. Think of it like this. Game one in this series saw the Pelicans produce their fourth worst shooting night of 85 games played this season. Fourth worst, all right? It was their 13th worst three-point shooting night of 85 games played this season as well. Now, keep in mind, New Orleans did rank fourth in three-point shooting this season. So a good three-point shooting team had a terrible three-point shooting night, had one of their absolute worst overall shooting nights of the entire season, and they lost by 2 points. Two. They were that dreadful. Indiana was super dreadful against Milwaukee in game one, and then you see what happens in game two when they have a little bit of shooting regression. I think the same thing happens here with the Pelicans, who have given Oklahoma City fits all year long. It's a bad matchup for OKC. Doesn't mean they're not going to win the series. It just means it's a bad matchup. Pizza money number one is Pelicans +7.5 over the Thunder. For the draft tomorrow, since I'm doing the morning show and Carlin's going to be on draft coverage in the evening, where I'm going to throw this one out there, J.J. McCarthy under 5.5 for his draft position, which means I need them to go in the top five. That's -135. Bottom line, I think someone's trading up to 4 or 5. Two teams in Arizona and the Chargers who are more than willing to move back. Pizza money's 1 and 2. Pelicans +7.5 over the Thunder tonight. J.J. McCarthy under 5.5 for his draft position, -135 tomorrow.
Here comes McConnell. Right edge, Nesmith into the lane. Siakam turns and delivers one more time. Milwaukee takes a timeout. The Pacers have their largest lead of the night.
Feels good. I think it feels good for everybody. You know, obviously it's my second playoff game, but they always say, like, playoffs don't start till, you know, series don't start till there's a road win. So we got that, so I guess it started.
Timberwolves took out the Suns 105-93 last night. They hold a 2-0 series lead. Mavericks evened it up against the Clippers with a 96-93 win. And then there's the Pacers, who went into Milwaukee for game two, put it on the Bucks a little bit. Final score 125-108. Series tied 1-1 heading back to Indiana. Despite home court shifting to Indiana, Bucks still a small favorite to win the series. -115, Pacers -105. Gabe Neitzel, you are in Milwaukee. You do sports talk radio in Milwaukee. Give us the lay of the land. How's everyone feeling about this series, given Giannis's question mark with health, Dame Lillard playing really well in the first half, but not so much in the second half? Where do we stand?
Bucks fans are riding the roller coaster, Joe. Just, we are up and down. Giannis is out going into the series. The Pacers had defeated the Bucks 4 out of 5 times in the regular season. Everyone's going, okay, they got no chance against the Pacers. And then they come out and do what they did in game one. and dominated the game. Dame scored 35 in the first half. Didn't even need to score in the second half, still winning by 15 points. Okay, now the Bucks can win the series. And then last night happens, and the Pacers pull away with a 20-4 run early in the fourth quarter to kind of put it out of reach after the Bucks had closed the deficit 2-4 points. And everybody's back to, oh, now the Bucks can't win without Giannis. I think it's just a matter of, again, the Pacers made the appropriate adjustments. Yes, they were able to hit some more shots. They had one of their worst shooting nights, if not their worst shooting night of the year.
Literally the worst.
And I don't think they're going to shoot as well as they did yesterday in the upcoming game. Shot 56% last night and shot over 40% from three. I think there are going to be some ebbs and flows for this in the series. The Bucks' margin for error is pretty small when you don't have one of the best players in the NBA on your roster. I still think that they're able to win this series against the Pacers, but it just becomes difficult when Giannis is not available, and I'm not sure if he's going to be available coming up for Game 3, which is an early, weird time, 5:30 Eastern tip time on Friday for Game 3 of the series in Indiana.
5:30 Eastern?
Yeah.
This is that time of year where everyone's just getting clever with everything. I remember when I was covering the Warriors in the Bay Area during the Dynasty, some of the start times for those games, because you're in California, but it might be a finals game, and you can't start at 7:30 local. That's 10:30 Eastern. It's the NBA Finals, so they'd start earlier, but Roracle, at the time where they played over in Oakland, was right along the highway. It'd be busy as hell. There'd be people coming out of rush hour, and like there would be these announcements that everyone would have to make, like, yo, make sure you're in your seat by the start of the game, because it's an early start and we want the crowd rocking. It's not as if the crowd was like a Miami crowd late arriving. It's sure. Just they wanted to be there. It's just the traffic was a nightmare and the start time was very odd. So we got the odd start time for Milwaukee. So that's 4:30 for you guys?
4:30 Central, yes. Very, very
is
odd.
Is Indiana Central time?
No, they just are barely into the Eastern time zone. You cross over on the drive over.
It's too much. It's too much.
There's a lot going on. But it's a triple header on ESPN.
You know, there have got to be people that live in one time zone and work in another, right, with the crossover. That's got to be a disaster trying to keep your life organized. Oh, how do you speak to your wife when you're trying to coordinate things? Or your husband?
You want to talk about wild. So there is a casino up in the UP, in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Not so wild so far. You're speaking my language.
Yeah, man, I figured I'd be speaking your language.
In the
and
UP?
Also, yes, in the Upper
Peninsula. I love that.
That's what it's called here, colloquially. And you go up there. They've got good golf courses up there. It's fun. It's cheap to go up there during the summer. I've done it a couple of times. So the casino itself is in Central Time Zone, but they're so close to Eastern, they operate in the Eastern Time Zone because they have so many people driving in from that time zone. So even though it's in the Central, it operates as if it's in the Eastern.
So they eschew their current time zone.
Correct.
Eschew. I wanted to get that word into the show today. They eschew their actual appropriate time zone just to cater to the Eastern time zone?
That is correct.
Once again showing casinos do whatever the hell they want, no matter where they're located. Casinos are like completely lawless when it comes to casinos making their own rules. Like watching them refuse service to black. I once had a buddy in Vegas, quick story here, who is a very good blackjack player. And back in the day, there used to be the stories about how people like that, they take them up into a back room, they beat them up a little bit, they tell them sure. They're not. You can't do that sort of thing anymore in Vegas. You can't do that. So the new thing is they come to you and they just go, excuse me, sir, you're too good for us. We're not going to be able to accommodate your action. That's what they tell you. They tell you, they kill them with kindness. You're too good for us. That's basically saying, we know what you're doing. Get the hell out of here. We've seen you on the cameras. And my buddy was telling us about this the one time. And someone overheard it and was like, BS, there's no way that's true. He goes, no, it's serious. I wouldn't make that up. If I go downstairs and play, it doesn't even have to be high limits. Like, they're going to throw me out. And they made a side bet. The guy thought he was lying. So he goes down. He sits at the table. We all go to, like, the slot machines nearby. Yeah. And he starts playing. And he's playing $25 hands. And he's losing. And sure enough, someone walks over and taps him and is like, I'm sorry, sir. You know, it's I hate to interrupt, but you're too good for us. And we're going to have to ask you to leave. And he goes, too good for you. He goes, I'm down. I'm down like $300 in 10 minutes. I'm not winning. What are you talking about? And they're just like, you know what we're talking about. You're out of here. And they, it's not like they throw him out. They're just like, you can't play. You can go ahead and sure. Spend money anywhere else you like. Go spend money in the clubs, the bars, the restaurants. We're just not going to let you play blackjack here. And I was like, damn, that is a really nice way of doing that.
That is,
like, instead of just beating the guy up, it's just like, nah, you're too good.
Yeah, sorry. We're not going to accept your action anymore. Right. Just scram. That's basically the 2024 version of scram.
Right.
Scram, kid. Get out of here.
Are you breaking up with me? Is that what's happening here? I'm actually, and the funny thing was, he walks over and he's like, I told you. He goes, I wasn't even winning. I was playing $25 a hand. Like, it's one thing if you're trying to get 5,000 down and you're hitting 17 into 21 and everyone's like, all right, what the hell is this guy up to? No, wasn't even winning. So there's your story for the day.
Down $300 and casinos. They're still just, no, you're still too good. Yeah, they just do whatever they want.
It doesn't matter what time zone you think you're in. We're going to tell you what time zone we think you're in. If that's even a sentence that works. All right. When you are trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing, it can become a job in and of itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The Sixers, the Suns, the Clippers. Let me ask you a question. In the next 3 to 5 years, which stock are you buying? Which stock are you selling? All three teams are in trouble. All three teams have big question marks moving into the offseason. That's coming up next. Gabe Neitzel, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio. From the play-in tournament.
Here's Embiid, trains a triple.
Until a champion is crowned at the NBA Finals.
The Denver Nuggets NBA champion.
History awaits. The NBA playoffs on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Yes, sir. Two basketball games tonight. The Celtics play host to the Heat. Casual 14.5 point favorite. Boston leads the series 1-0. You've also got OKC hosting New Orleans. Do not sleep on that series. I feel like that is the most slept upon series because it was the late Sunday night game. So a lot of people on the East Coast may have gone to bed. Game one was awesome. And while the Pelicans are down Zion, they match up very well with Oklahoma City. And they've had a lot of success against Oklahoma City this year. And they've also won a lot of games without Zion. Like, do not sleep on that series. I'm surprised the spread 7.5. I like the Pelicans. We talked about that earlier. Gabe Neitzel, Joe Fortenbaugh, Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio. Speaking of basketball, Gabe, you're a stockbroker. You're on Wall Street. I'm going to present you with three stocks.
Okay.
You can't pass. You got to buy. You got to buy one. And if you want to sell one, you can do that as well. But here are the three stocks in question. And you, as an investor, have to ask yourself, which is going to be the best stock to own over the next 3 to 5 years? You get paid out the better this team performs. Okay? Over the next 3 to 5 years, the three stocks you can choose from are the following. Number one, the Los Angeles Clippers, currently in a series tied 1-1, heading back to Dallas. Kawhi Leonard dinged up right now, didn't look all that great last night. Paul George headed for potential free agency. Stock number two. The Phoenix Suns, down 0-2 to the Minnesota Timberwolves, coming home for Game 3. Kevin Durant turns 36 next year. Devin Booker's under contract until, I believe, 2028, but he'd be a great asset if you were going to trade him. Bradley Beal, he's been hit or miss this season. Still has a lot of talent, but not sure if he's the guy that's going to put you over the top. Or stock number three, the 76ers of Philadelphia. Down 0-2 to the New York Knicks, coming home for Game 3. Tyrese Maxey just won Most Improved Player last night. Joel Embiid battling yet another injury. Tobias Harris coming off the books, $40 million this offseason. I think we can all assume he will not be back with Philadelphia. That is what literally 100% of the population there wants. Which of those three stocks would you buy, considering that they would have the best possible chance at a championship or deep run over the next 3 to 5 years?
I am going to say the Philadelphia 76ers. Mm,
music to my ears.
So I look at the 76ers, and they're going to try to build around Maxey and Embiid. And Embiid's a risky proposition. And maybe 5 years from now, he's retired. Who knows? With the injury history that he has, you don't. But I think over the next 3 years, especially being in the Eastern Conference, yes, as dominant as Boston has been this year, I doubt that they're going to be able to continue that dominance over the course of the next 5 years. I don't see right now a team that's just going to rise and grab a hold of that conference the way that, I don't know, Denver has out west, or Minnesota looks like they are poised to do with the young roster and the fun roster that they currently have. So I think being in the East works towards them. And also, with the 76ers, you mentioned the loss of Tobias Harris. That's going to open up a potential roster spot, a potential money spot, where they can bring in somebody where you're subtracting potentially from the Clippers, because the hot rumor is that Paul George might be that guy. So I'm subtracting from the Clippers. The Suns look like they're going to be potentially blowing it up as well, because they don't look like they're playing very inspired basketball in their series against the T-Wolves. So what are they going to do? I think the Sixers are the one that's most likely to keep it together, and most likely to add something where over the next 3 to 5 years, they've got an opportunity. If I'm buying only one, I'm buying the Sixers.
Okay, I can see that, given the player they could potentially bring in the Tobias Harris spot. Tyrese Maxey hasn't even entered his prime yet, and Embiid, you still have some good years left if you can keep him healthy. I find the Clippers to be intriguing, specifically because of the owner, Steve Ballmer. Ballmer's competitive. Ballmer's got boatloads of cash, like more cash than you could ever possibly figure out what to do with, coming from Microsoft. He wants to win. He's opening a new arena next year. Like, he's not just going to sit back on his laurels. He's going to fire, and he's going to try to find a way to put as much talent on that team as humanly possible. The Suns are the team I'm absolutely selling. It feels like this is not going to work out at all. Durant's about to be 36. They did the classic, we're going to assemble a bunch of all-stars, and that's going to carry us. That does not work. All-star teams do not work. Look at the teams that are having success. Homegrown talent, consistency, leadership, coaching, some tweaks here and there, but that was Denver. Mike Malone's been there since what, 2015? Jokic, Murray, you go out and you add a guy in Aaron Gordon, boom, you're over the top. The Milwaukee Bucks, who you cover, same thing when they won. Giannis, Middleton, Lopez, consistency with the coach. You make the move for Drew Holiday, it puts you over the top. The Golden State Warriors behind that. Everyone can look to Durant, but the reality is Steph, Clay, Draymond, homegrown. And then you supplement elsewhere. The Boston Celtics are like that. Tatum, Brown, you go out there and you bring in a guy like Porzingis, Horford, all the rest. It just feels haphazard in Phoenix. The thing is, the guy you'd most want to keep, Booker, is the guy that would bring you the biggest result, right? Like, if you were to trade someone, that's the guy. But it just doesn't feel like this current iteration is going anywhere.
No, it feels, of all those teams, yes, it doesn't feel like the Suns are going anywhere, because they just don't have any depth. Like, I don't know what you do. So if you trade, let's say you trade Booker. Okay, let's put Booker out there. You feel good about building around Durant at his age?
Right, 36.
I don't know how much he's got. Yeah, I don't know how many, you know, great seasons he has left in him. So you're not going to build around Bradley Beal either.
No.
So your options seem limited. Okay, you can try to trade away Durant, maybe try to trade away Beal and see what you can get, but that's what they've done the last couple of seasons, trying to build different things around Devin Booker. The Clippers are interesting because, like
you
said,
I think Beal's got a no trade as well. Like, that's going to be extremely difficult to move.
Oof. Oh, that just, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're a Phoenix Suns fan listening to this. This is probably just a cold, you know, cold dose of reality coming your way. The Clippers are interesting, although if you have injury concerns and injury questions about Joel Embiid, it would only be fair to bring those same things up when it comes to Kawhi Leonard. And I understand Kawhi's smaller, so maybe you've got a little bit more, you know, optimism about him being able to stay healthy. I don't know where that optimism would come from, because really, since he's come over from the Toronto Raptors, he hasn't shown an ability to stay healthy for an entire season. You thought maybe they had figured it out this year, and then he goes ahead and misses game one of the series, which they promptly won without him. You don't have, to me, that stud star that you want to build around with the Clippers. You have an assembly of three pretty good veterans, But I don't know if you have that young stud that you have with Maxey in the Sixers and Booker in the Suns. So the Clippers, even though Ballmer wants to spend the money, I'm not sure where you're getting that really big star that you can build around and supplement.
It's going to be a wild offseason. Woj was mentioning recently that it's going to be like the NBA transfer portal with how many guys are looking to get traded. Like last year was quiet. It was just Dame. This year's supposed to be wild. So we're in for a big summer. Quickly on this one, do you think we're ever going to see Kevin Durant in the NBA Finals again? Like, I love watching him deep in the playoffs. I love seeing him in these critical Game 6, Game 7s, Conference Finals, things like that. Like, watching him at his absolute best when the stakes are the highest. He's one of the most fun basketball players out there. It's not the most articulate way to say it, but the guy's fun as hell to watch. I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's going to need to happen in order for us to see him on the biggest stage again?
I don't know where he would have to get traded. And like, I don't even know if Phoenix would trade him.
Right? Like, does he go somewhere else? Does he try another team?
Probably, but at this point, I think the days of him being in the NBA Finals are over, which is unfortunate to say.
Well, I'll tell you what, our time has come to an end, but it's always a pleasure working with you. Ladies and gentlemen, Gabe Neitzel, one of the finest gentlemen you could be partnered with. When Chris Carlin decides, well, you know, I'm just going to take the day to travel because it's so hard to get from Jersey to Detroit. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Carlin versus Joe weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Carlin versus Joe podcast.